Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you see how the gospel of Jesus Christ intersects with our daily lives and compels us toward gratitude and generosity. All right, well, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman, and I am sitting here with...
I am Darren Larson.
And I'm Tom Regan.
And we also have a very special guest with us today. Very special guest. Would you tell us who you are?
This is Jenny Bossio.
And Jenny is actually part of our lead team here. She's the operations lead. And we would all
probably
be
the most important
running
part.
Around in the dark screaming without her here. Yeah.
Thank I wish you. We were kidding. You do so much around here.
It's very true. But Jenny, so outside of being the operations lead of Imprint Church, tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, who are you? How long have you been around here? And what are you passionate about?
I have been at Imprint since the beginning, which is really exciting. Started out as a volunteer and worked my way into a part-time job, now a full-time job. We started at Imprint when we had one in college, one in high school. It's a funny place now to be where most people now don't see me as a mom. I'm just an empty nester, which Brad and I love this season of life. Outside of Imprint, I am passionate about dead people. this is my line.
I see
dead people.
Both of you guys.
Genealogy is, if I'm not with work or with the family, I'm researching relatives, especially Brad's Italian side has been really exciting.
So if you like genealogy, you should run into Jenny at some point and ask her about it.
Yeah, for sure.
I would love that.
Yeah. How long have you and Brad been married?
It will be 35 years next month.
Oh, my goodness.
That's great. I was married when I was 5.
That's right. That's good. That's
I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if you are just joining us, we've been going through a short series on the fruit of the Spirit. It's not actually that short. There are a lot of fruits in
nine
the Spirit.
Nine of them, right? Is there nine? So, I think there's nine.
Yeah, there are nine of them. If you're unfamiliar, this comes out of Galatians 5, where Paul is talking about walking in the Spirit, not to gratify the desires of the flesh. I mean, he actually lists the fruits of the Spirit later, right after listing what he calls the works of the flesh. And these are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so we are today talking about peace. We've talked about love and joy already. And if you haven't heard those, I'd encourage you to go back and listen, not just because they're great and we have great guests, but also it sort of lays a foundation and more so of how the fruit of the Spirit form in us. But today, we're going to talk about peace. It's not been a very peaceful year or so, has it?
That's true, yeah. And isn't it seem like people are wanting peace in a major way and kind of no one knows what it really is?
I think so. There's been, it's a sort of, how can I achieve an inner peace, whether that's, actually external circumstances, or what, how can I, make peace with myself in some ways, or how can I insulate myself from harm in these ways, that kind of thing. So what are we talking about when we talk about peace compared to what the world is talking about when they talk about peace? I think when I think of peace in if I'm watching some TV show or something like that, someone says, I just want peace. They usually go to a place in their head. Again, they have cucumbers on their eyes. They're beside a pool. They have a margarita or something like that.
Yeah.
And it's a very tranquil. Yes,
tranquil.
Exactly.
Very happy.
Very tranquil or happy or lack of conflict or whatever. What makes peace on this list of the fruit of the Spirit unique to just plain tranquility?
Can I pass that on to you, Jenny, and say,
absolutely.
What do you think? What do you think of peace? You're our special guest, and you thought about this a bit.
I think the difference, God's peace coexists with all these problems. I think there's something that, as a young Christian, I thought, if I had joy all the time, if I was praying without ceasing, peace would just come. And it doesn't work like that. And so getting to a place where I could say, all that turmoil is crazy outside and maybe even inside me. But at the end of the day or in that hour, you can say, I'm okay because God's got this. So it just feels like that a difference. It's not an escape. I think the world's peace is an escape. Stick your head in the sand, put the cucumbers on and forget.
Sure.
But there's an acknowledgement of all the chaos.
So it's not escapism.
Definitely not.
It's not self-medication, because that's what a lot of sins end up stemming from, is we're medicating our pains and our problems. And the way that I can gain a sense of tranquility or not feel so tossed about by the storms of life is if I drink enough alcohol, it makes me feel a certain way where I can kind of numb the pain. So you're not talking about getting to a peace where you, by medicating or numbing away the pain, you're acknowledging.
That's a really good word. I have to say, yes, this year has been hard. And yet, what am I going to do about it?
Right.
How am I going to be okay?
Right.
Yes. It's interesting. When you were talking, I was kind of thinking about like this idea of trying to attain peace. I want to attain peace. And you're saying that peace should be something different than something that you're just always trying to attain. Is that, am I hearing you kind of rightly in that way?
For me, that was my journey. Yeah. I think I'm very much a performance doer. And I think I tried to will myself into God's peace.
Interesting.
If I try harder, it will just come.
I will be peaceful.
Right.
Yeah, so maybe this is a good point to go back to Rex's original question. How is the peace that we're talking about here differ from peace in the world? Well, if you're trying to will yourself to produce peace, that goes against the fact that this passage, Galatians 15, or 5, sorry.
5, yeah.
Says that peace is a fruit of the Spirit, which means that the Spirit himself is producing. And so to me, this passage has always kind of been mysterious to me, because there is an interplay of our relationship with the Lord through his Holy Spirit and our doing. We're not just simply passive where we just let go and let God, and he just operates on us and grows this fruit on us. We are told to keep in step with him, right?
Spirit.
So we're told to do something, but in the end, we're not the ones producing the peace. It's the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
So I think that's a really important clarification, that the source of this peace is supernatural.
Exactly.
It's God himself. And then to go back to what Jenny said about that peace can exist, true Holy Spirit-given peace can exist in the midst of chaos. I think of Jesus' words at the end of John 16, verse 33. He says, I have said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So he says to his disciples, in Jesus, there's this phrase, in Jesus, so in me, and in the world. In the world, you will have tribulation. I've said these things so that in me you may have peace. So the peace is in Jesus and through the gift of his Spirit.
Yeah.
That's really good, because, I mean, you get the difference between the world's view of trying to gain that and our view of having one who gives it to us.
Yeah.
And to receive it.
Yeah,
I think it was always given to me, but I wasn't aware of it, right?
Yeah.
Because you have to receive a gift and acknowledge it.
Yep.
And there is a piece, the other kind of piece, that says it's there, but what are you gonna do with it? And can you, in a way, let go of yourself so that God's peace can come in? Like I had to stop doing and let God provide that peace instead of under my own
Performance.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a question? Like, how is it different than, in a sense, than being a feeling? Like, is it a feeling? Is peace a feeling? Like, I mean, it probably can be. I got a peaceful.
I think that's what I fought for was to feel peaceful, and again, to make yourself just grit down and I'm going to get it. I'm going to get it. When really, when I finally got to a point that said, no, I have to choose to accept it and choose to say my faith in God and his promises kind of overcome that feeling, or what he offers in his peace is bigger than what I can muster up myself. So I feel like it transitions to not your feeling, but at the end of it, when I'm on the other side of understanding God's peace and being okay with the chaos and my internal there is a peaceful feeling.
There's an experience of it. I don't know that we can understand. Now, we may get around to when we talk about peace in terms of relationships in the body of Christ. I think Paul uses that way
in Colossians 2, right? Colossians 3 comes to mind for me. Yeah.
But when we're speaking of this internal peace, like in the sense of Philippians 4, that we give all our petitions and prayers and thanksgivings and supplications to God, and the peace that surpasses understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I think that is a feeling. I think the word that I might use is a sense.
Like a sense of
well-being. Like that's kind of my explanation, my definition of peace is when you have this deeply seated felt experience of your sense of well-being in God because of who he is to you in Christ and what he promises you.
Yeah. Well, but it's not just aiming at that feeling. I think that's the thing. It's aiming higher.
Yeah, and I think that's it's funny. Jenny.
It's come up in the past couple of weeks as we've talked about this. It's been a common thread of the difference between a love or a joy or a peace that is from the Spirit versus from the world, and that it's not just about this feeling, right? It's not just about the feeling. It it can create that feeling, it seems. Yeah. But again, aiming higher here is the goal. I don't know.
Yeah, I was thinking when you were talking a little bit about your experience there is thinking about how chaotic the world is. When I think of peace, I think of the Isaiah 9 passage. I always go to the Christmas passage for some reason, this one, probably because we put peace things up in our houses and on our trees and things. But that's passage where, you know, it says, "For unto us a child is born," 9:6, "to us a son is given, the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name should be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And then it says, "Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end." You know, so this is in the context of Assyria and the complete I can't remember all the history, but like the complete destruction, basically, of all society. Like what you were talking about just a minute ago, everything's like falling apart, but yet here is the gift of Jesus and the Prince of Peace, and his peace is going to continue.
And I think one of the things that what people... You go into a bookstore, people want peace. I mean, people are striving after peace. They want a sense of well-being. Even in that sense, they want a sense of well-being. But I think one of the key distinctions between a true biblical peace, and I mentioned it's the supernatural source, but the source of our peace is God. So it's interesting in Philippians chapter 4, this famous passage about praying, right? Not being anxious for things. And he says in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." You keep going. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, he says, "You see these things in me? Put these things into practice." And he says, "And these things, put these things into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." So earlier in 7, it says the peace of God. Down in 9, he says the God of peace will be with you. Yeah. And so our peace, which is from God, comes from a relationship with the God of peace. And so I think others have said, and it's always kind of stuck with me, it's like, first you need to know the God of peace. You need to make peace with God through Christ. And only when you have peace with God is the peace of God
available
to you, because now you're in relationship with him and you inherit all these wonderful and amazing promises. And then you can experience peace.
Yeah, I remember Romans 15 and 16 both called Jesus the God of peace, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's two places there. God of peace shows up several times in the New Testament. I think in 1 Thessalonians as well. There's the God of peace. Mm-hmm. That's a cool idea, you know? Can I go back to a question? Sorry, I'm stealing Rex's thunder here because I like this. But the feeling thing. So I want to go back to that, because I kind of ask, is it not a feeling? Yeah. And you said, but there can be a feeling. Have there been experiences where you guys, any of you guys, have experienced God's peace, like as a feeling that you've been like, man, I know he was there. Was it in a particularly tough time, or is there a place where you said, man, I just knew the peace of God was surrounding my life at that?
I think that it typically... Those you're more aware of those in moments where it doesn't make sense to have peace, if that makes sense.
Counterintuitive.
It's counterintuitive. So, I mean, I talked to, you know, a couple weeks ago on the podcast about losing my mom. There were very, I wouldn't call them, you know, tranquil in the sense that the word is used in peace in the world that we're talking about. There were moments where, in the midst of immense loss and busyness and everything that goes on in that kind of way, there was a sense of peace that... Again, as it says in scripture, surpasses all understanding. Yeah, it's a sense of well-being, understanding. Like, I don't know. For me, it was in Christ. I am held in this time, regardless. Cool. So I think that was. I guess what I learned in that was like, okay, as far as I might fall, like God's there, and that's very encouraging. We talk about that some in the grief podcast, but I think knowing that gave a sense of peace that didn't really make a whole lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Not that I was like happy-go-lucky, obviously, but I do think that typically those moments are the ones where that, again, peace that surpasses all understanding, like it says in Philippians, is what shows up, and we can experience it in that way. So.
Mm-hmm. I think I had a similar experience where it didn't make sense to have peace. Mm-hmm. So it couldn't have been for me. I'd been at a previous church for 20 years and it closed.
Man.
And that was really hard. It's where I found my faith, where my kids grew up. And it feels like the rug is pulled out from under you. And you're like, what is God doing? How does he close a church that I had never heard of that before? Mm-hmm. But it forced me into a place to figure out, well, like, what is this world about? What is my faith about? Mm-hmm. And I realized I was trusting more in the friends and the activities and
the
work, the structure, and not forgetting God, but certainly not making him the priority. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Looking back now, I can say that was a really great thing for my faith because it pushed me into a direction that, because I was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? Getting through that period of grieving the loss of a church, finding a new church body, figuring out what my faith really was about, somewhere in there came a piece of, it's okay that this happened. You don't love it. You wouldn't want to do it again. Mm-hmm. But you seeing God's bigger purpose through it made it a peaceful sense. And also just, do I or do I not believe in this God that I've been worshiping for 20 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I do, it's the hardest to trust him when you don't like what he's doing.
Yeah.
And that's when you finally kind of give up and say, okay, God.
Mm, so there's some surrender in that, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, for me, like I have a very vivid experience of God's peace that I can absolutely 100% say was like a totally supernatural in its source. In that, the day before, I'm always a bit hesitant to talk about my brain cancer. I don't want to become the poster child for this, but there's so many things that God taught me in this. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I use it as an opportunity to basically talk about how amazing God is.
Yeah,
so the day before my second brain surgery, this is in November of 2015, to remove what they could of the residual cancerous tumor in my brain. I had one surgery 5 months prior. So let me back up a little bit. After my first surgery, I was told sometime after that I might have to have a second because I didn't get it all. And I was like crushed with anxiety. Mm-hmm. I remember sitting down on the edge of the tub in my bathroom and telling God, I cannot do this again. Like, this is too much for me. I just came out of a brutal surgery and recovery where my soul was destitute. And I was like, I can't go through this again. And so I was just racked with anxiety. Mm. Fast forward 5 months, I'm at MD Anderson in Houston, Texas, and I'm meeting with my new neurosurgeon who's going over the, because they have to do this when you do surgery, they go over the litany of what could go wrong. We're going to be operating 1 millimeter from critical brain tissue. Worst case scenarios would be paralysis. The worst case scenario would be death in a brain surgery. And somehow, supernaturally, there's a mixture of joy. Like, I don't know where joy begins and ends and where peace, but there was both. And I was exploding with joy. And I had this overwhelming sense of peace over me that while he is explaining all that could go wrong, I was like suppressing a smile. I suppressed it because I didn't want him to think I was crazy. That I was smiling. And the entire day, I had zero worry, you know? And I wish that God would, like you said, Jenny, we kind of want it to just be stable. Like, if we could feel that way all the time, that would be amazing. But that is not how life works, unfortunately. It's like God doesn't give us that surpassing peace all the time. Mm-hmm. But I had it that day. And I remember I slept like a baby that night. I went to bed so late, but I had to get up really early. And I was thinking, oh man, I'm only got like 4 hours to sleep or 5 hours to sleep. I hope I can, because you would think before a second major surgery. And my mind went to, and in Psalm 4, it says, you have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and their wine abound. So David's praying this, and he's saying, so even when people are thriving and they're prospering materially, I have more joy in my heart than when they're doing well. Materially. And then in verse 8, the final verse says, in peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Mm. So I just had this pervasive sense of I am well cared for in God's hands, you know, and I slept beautifully. Mm-hmm. And I know that there were so many people in this community, Darren, you were there, who were praying for me. And the only explanation I have is that God was merciful in answering prayers and giving me this surpassing peace, because I know that for me, it's not like I did some awesome quiet time and had an awesome prayer time and ate a fantastic breakfast and was and was like working myself into some spiritual, like spiritually happy zone. I wasn't. I was going from MRI to MRI to doctor's appointment to doctor's appointment, running around the whole hospital, you know? And so I wish I could say that that peace is carried with me all the time. But I look back at that and I go, God demonstrated his presence powerfully.
Yeah. And I can attest that was super cool, just because MD Anderson is an amazing and horrible place all at the same time. Right. And it's hard to explain the complexity of that place and the work that they're doing, which is a miracle and the common grace of God. Right. But to know, if I were in your shoes, I think I had more anxiety in that moment. I probably had way less peace than you did.
Yeah, it's probably
your
true.
Your wife and I were like, you know, huddled in the waiting room for hours that day, just with full anxiety. Like full. I didn't have the peace of God in that
moment. No, but it's so strange how sometimes it'll hit one, you know, I say it will hit this sense of well-being, this peace will come upon you in a certain time. And I think that's why it's a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
That was Spirit produced. That was, I did not produce so cool. that. I did not produce that.
Yeah. And that's kind of what I hear about Jenny as well. Like, you had something, that's a horrible experience. I have a church shut down around you. My story is a bit like that too. I could share a story like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, Darren, you should share a story.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, it's funny. I'd be similar to Jenny's where, man, we had kind of, we knew God had called us to ministry, and we were in Chicago, and we had come back to take over a lead role, my first senior pastorate role of a church down in Finney Ridge, Fremont area of Seattle, And things went great. The first year was amazing. Second year, money was running out. There was some conflict in the church. There was all kinds of things happening in the middle of that. And it was really interesting because our board was pretty unified throughout this whole time. There were some challenges that we faced together, and there were some things that we went through. I mean, I could tell story upon story that would just take longer in this podcast, but in the long run, we voted on a Sunday morning whether we were going to shut the church down or not, and the vote was to shut the church down on that Sunday morning. And it was a weird moment because I had to realize, like, that was my livelihood too, right? I was getting paid by the church. And so, but I walked out of there. I mean, I remember Kelly and I standing at the Ram, a restaurant at Northgate Mall. And when we got news that it voted to shut down, we were not allowed to vote because we had financial connections to it and stuff, which is a weird story in and of itself. But one of the elders called me and said the vote was no, we're going to shut down. And we just cried, you know, we cried together. And yet after that, I think you could talk to Kelly today. I think both of us felt a real sense of, like, this was God's plan. This was God's, like, his will was done right here more than anything else. And it didn't feel good, you know? It was like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you said you cried.
We cried. So it was hard. We were hurting, you know? Yeah. And then we quickly packed up the kids and went down to California. We had made this plan to go down there. We're like, what are we doing? We have zero money, income. We're going to take the kids to Disneyland anyway, you know? But it was like this moment of peace. Like, God's in charge. He's literally sovereign over what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so in some ways that was a gift, and it wasn't that we weren't grieving. It wasn't that we weren't hurting. I think we felt it together.
Yeah. Tom, you shared something, you know, it seems like light years ago now, when we were doing a podcast about, God's sovereignty and, you know, free will and that kind of thing. It was something about God's sovereignty being a soft pillow for a weary head.
Yeah. For a weary head.
So it's almost like peace is hitting that pillow and realizing you're okay.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. It's almost viewed better in retrospect, I think. But, you know, you talking about your cancer, you talking about the church closing, Darren, you talking about the church closing. It's almost like you get through this event that's you think is going to end your life, end your world, and you land on that and you think, oh, this is it.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Lord is still good.
I'm okay.
Yes. I'm okay. I'm going to make it.
Yeah. Yeah. I also think of the other one, where the Charles Spurgeon quote, where it's like, I've learned to kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of ages, you know, that's, you remember, I don't know if you've heard that quote before.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've learned, is it kiss the wave that throws me against the rock of
ages? Right.
That reminds me of peace. That's peace, you know, in a sense like that. I've learned to be okay with the things like that.
So while I don't think that we can produce the feeling and shouldn't be striving to produce peace, I think we can pursue peace.
Absolutely.
In the sense of keeping in step with the Spirit when you are struggling and you're anxious, is to go, Holy Spirit, I'm going to meditate on your word right now. I'm going to chew on this, and I'm going to pray this into myself.
Absolutely.
And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to minister to me now. So I don't think we're passive in the fruit
not at all.
Bearing, but I think in the end, ultimately, the decisive person at work is God, the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think there's that weird interplay that we've talked about, I guess, in the past couple of weeks of our keeping in step with the Spirit and the Spirit also doing his work at the same time. That makes me think of Colossians a little bit. Colossians 3, 15 and 16 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So while the Spirit is ultimately responsible for the fruit, it's pretty obvious here. We are to let the word of Christ dwell richly in our hearts. Two, we're to gather. And then three, also, we're to be grateful. You know, he says he talks about gratitude so much. We're supposed to foster gratitude as well. So what does it look like for a person and a church to try to foster peace as a fruit of the Spirit?
Well, I think what I was referring to just previously, I guess I should qualify and say that that pursuit of walking in step with the Spirit and dwelling on his promises, I was referring mostly to internal peace, which I think
like your Philippians personal peace.
Yeah.
You
right. Mean, I'm not talking peace. About like avoiding conflict or turmoil as a group. I'm talking about how do we keep in step with the Spirit corporately in such a way that fosters peace.
Right. Well, if you go to Colossians 3:15, what precedes that is this idea of putting off the old habits, the old self, and putting on the new. And he talks about, you know, like putting on compassionate hearts toward one another, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. And above all, putting on love, you know, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So there is actually a pursuit of unity in the body of Christ, where we are treating each other as Christ would treat us, where we are living in Christ-like character, loving one another, being compassionate and tender-hearted toward one another, putting on the new self that's being renewed. And that creates that sense of corporate peace. I'm not talking about just individual internal peace, but when he says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts," I used to read that for years as just like the personal peace of the Philippians 4 kind. But I think he's actually talking about a corporate relational peace because he said, "To which you were called in one body." So I think there is some interplay between a corporate sense of we're loving each other well, we are working toward peace with one another in the body, and that somehow interplays with even the peace that we experience internally.
I think so too. I mean, even if you look at Galatians 5, where we read before, right before he talks about keeping a step with the Spirit, he's talking about, you know, the law being fulfilled and loving your neighbor as yourself, and not to bite and devour each other, that you might not be consumed by one another. Then the next thing out of his mouth is, "But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And then he goes on to talk about the desires of the flesh, that which are, you know,
frightening.
Yeah, frightening. Like it's a truly frightening list. You should read them. But how do you, I like that. I like the idea that it's not just a "I'm going to take care of me" kind of peace. Because I do think, again, that's going back to the whole escapism of the world, where it's like, well, I have peace. Mm-hmm. My church is falling apart because I'm, you know, because we're not pursuing peace together. I don't think that's what a peace from the Holy Spirit would look like.
Yeah.
Strikes me, it's funny, this idea that there's actually things to do. Like, right, if my first thing is I was working too hard to make peace happen on my own, but there's some responsibilities. So the verses you read, there are things that I can do. I can meditate on God's word. I can pray. I can talk to other believers. I can talk to God. Like, it's a funny work striving for, but it's striving with the right things, with God in mind, not my own power. So I don't know if that's sort of an answer to your question, but it's an interesting.
That's a good answer. I kind of like to know some details, like how have you done that? Like, have you pursued peace, like, and you've seen fruit of that, Jenny, out of curiosity?
Right. Is it something you pursue, or is it a byproduct?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know the answer to that. Although I would say that
it was both.
Sometimes people turn Galatians 5 into a moral
checklist
to do. And I just think that's not the way to see.
Yeah.
But like you said, Jenny, there are things to do. I mean, even in Philippians 4, I keep going back to that, but you're supposed to not be anxious. You're supposed to let your requests, your petitions be made known to God with thanksgiving, right? So be prayerful, be thankful.
And what do I do when I feel anxious? Mm-hmm. Do I just stew in my own anxiousness, or do I say, God, I'm feeling anxious. Can I talk to you about it? I think that that change of bringing him into my circumstances, my emotions, my life, and not trying to overcome it myself, but to really say, here it is.
Yeah.
See, that's me. So what I'm hearing, Jenny, you're saying that's relationship that you're describing. You're not necessarily saying I'm trying to produce a character quality right now or an internal experience. I am trying to walk with the Lord right now.
Yes. Yes. Mm. I have that picture, right, of Abba Father and crawling up into his lap and just sometimes sobbing.
Yeah.
Saying this is what I'm doing and this is what I'm feeling, but feeling protection there and knowing he can do way more with it, my anxiety and my worry, than I can.
And even, it reminds me, go back to the Lost Grief podcast, it reminds me of being emotionally honest.
Yeah, totally.
With yourself and with God about things, to be able to say, this is pretty rough, you know, and I'm not feeling peace. I'd like to feel peace. Not sure how to do that. But then seeing the Lord meet you in that place in some way. I've found, you know, I found peace a lot of times needing in me. I'm not sure if it's pursuing it or not, if it's just speaking the truth to myself about God.
Yeah.
That's been something I've had to do, I think, where when I've had moments where I had to realize this is, so I'll give you a really concrete example. I realized when the church melted down in Seattle that God could still be glorified in that moment. And God's glory is the thing that brings peace, right? More than anything else. Not my comfort, not my happiness, not my, honestly, not, and Kelly and I will tell you, we prayed, we thought we were doing the right thing all the time. We thought God had a different plan in mind. I mean, we were convinced of it. Like if you could, you could actually have a conversation with us and we'd say, like, we're 99.9% sure that God said to do this. And then the whole thing just overturned, you know? And we're like, is God, like, speaking to us? Am I wrong? Am I even a Christian? Like, you know, there's all these, like, questions you start asking yourself. But then you realize that out of that, still, God could be glorified in that mess of a situation. And, I mean, we look back, we're 15 years removed from it now or something like that, and God's done incredible things and he's been glorified. And there's some pieces of that story that now are coming out even today, that different podcasts altogether, that I go, thank the Lord, the vote went that way. Strange to say.
And I would say that about our church experience too.
Yeah.
It was a blessing and the right thing that we didn't realize at the time.
Yeah.
And in fact, I don't know if you knew, you were probably the first person that I told about our church closure who understood and brought empathy to the conversation way back at North Shore.
I think I remember that. Yeah, and totally.
Because most people either didn't understand it or they wanted to know, well, what was wrong with your church? What did you do? What did they do? And I got, I think because of your experience and closely matching timing, that it was just something that aligned us very quickly with you.
Yeah, I agree. I, as Ben Acone says, we stacked hands on something like that. It was like, oh, I know what you're going through. I feel that as well. So,
totally. No, I think there's something to that, the emotional honesty with God, and at the same time, talking pretty frankly with yourself. I mean, that you see that all over the Psalms. I think Psalm 42, David says, you know, it starts out as the deer pants for water. My soul for you, and that's been turned into songs and that kind of thing. But in reality, if a deer's panting for water, the deer's in a lot of trouble and is not feeling peace. Is in a,
it's distressing.
It's distressing. Exactly. But at three different times throughout this, he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God."
Yeah, I love that. Hope in God.
Exactly.
Talking to yourself.
The answer didn't happen. It was just like, say it, hope in God.
You just said that you had to preach truth to yourself.
Yes, exactly.
So I heard recently, I thought this was helpful, like we spend too much time listening to ourselves, and we need to spend more time talking to ourselves. I know that this sounds like you're splitting hairs, but like we have a lot of thoughts that just run through our heads that kind of come sort of passively and automatically to us that can just send us our minds in the wrong direction. Send us spinning out versus we need to talk to ourselves.
Take the thoughts captive.
To tell yourself and preach to yourself what is true about God. So maybe if you are feeling anxious, it's like remind yourself who is God. And this is why more recently, and I think I was sharing this with you and McGregor yesterday, Darren, that I've been in the Bible for many years. Much of it I feel like I can reference and I know the big ideas, but more recently I've just been memorizing because I feel like there are moments when I feel sort of anxious or distressed in some ways over things. And then I actually feel like I need God's word at the tip of my tongue so that I can preach to myself and remind myself.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that's not a passive posture.
No.
I'm not striving. I guess I'm not aiming to just feel peace. I am aiming to know the God of peace. You know, aiming to know him. And oftentimes he shows up and he gives me that. And then I get upset when it doesn't stick around for that long, and then I got to go back to it. But God just keeps us dependent, right? If he just filled us with peace and he kept us at 100% peace level all the time, we'd just be going on our merry way and we'd forget about God, honestly. We need that sense of dependency.
Absolutely.
There's
almost like an eschatological, we said that phrase, there's almost an eschatological point of view about it. So just end times kind of view of it, of understanding where this is all heading, what the Lord is doing. We may not understand the particulars, or even at times agree with the particulars. I think that there's peace to be found in where things are going. And it's not like a pie in the sky kind of thing, but I think of, you know, Jesus' words in Revelation 22 that he's making all things new. And there's some comfort there.
To go along with that, did I cut you off?
No, you're good.
To go along with that, I think there also is a realization that since we're using the eschatological language here, that there is a real true sense that we will never have complete peace here on earth, right? Like if we think of peace, I hear McGregor's voice in my mind right now. So we miss you, McGregor. You're not here today. But like he would be talking about the Hebrew mindset of shalom and the whole, like, we know he would, and Irene, the Greek word for peace, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But okay, so let's not make fun too much.
It's good to bring up.
It's good to bring up. Because shalom is, I think, it means wholeness or complete. Yeah,
it's a different version.
It's a different version of just like
peace.
Feeling okay.
Or
but
peace
we're never going
to... Right, or peace in the sense of the absence of conflict. It's peace is more, shalom is more than just, hey, there's no fighting.
Yeah.
Everything is as it should be.
Yes.
Everything is whole.
And we're like, we want that. We were looking for that. So the whole, like... Jenny and I's experience, we wanted a whole church. We wanted it to be healthy. We wanted you to be healthy, Tom. We didn't want your cancer to ravage your body. You know, these things that we wanted that, and yet we live on this side of eternity. We live on this, you know, the not yet of our salvation.
Yeah,
and so absolutely. We will always be searching at some level for the wholeness that only Christ will eventually.
For it,
And I don't think it's a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a bad thing for having that holy longing within your soul to be like, man, I really want life to be whole. I want it to be complete. Mm-hmm. I want these things to go away, you know?
Well, I think that's what our sufferings do. They create in us this longing for things to be made right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think in the last year, God has stirred up inside me a greater longing for the new creation than I've ever had. Mm-hmm. Because I'm just so aware of the brokenness of the world and the brokenness that's in me, that it's just a strange, God's strange way of producing in me a hope for the future.
Yep. Yeah.
Totally.
Oh, dude, I heard that. So this will give you a hint. We're a few weeks ahead, I suppose, of recording. But today, our governor basically started recommending wearing masks again indoors, you know, for anyone, not to get too political or anything like that. But I was like... I could feel it like welling up with me. I'm like, no, please don't come back. Don't do this. I was like all of a sudden having this like anxious moment of like, how are we going to handle this in the context of the church? What are my poor kids going to do when they go to school again in the fall? Mm-hmm. Like, is this really happening? Like, are we jumping back into a season of COVID, you know? Like, please, Lord, no. Mm-hmm. But like, Lord, you're in charge. Lord, this is the reality that we have right now. And I guess in some ways, my response needs to be to say, Lord, I trust you. I'm gonna allow you to do what you do. Mm-hmm. I may be upset about it. Yeah. I may fight that, and yet I'm also gonna believe the right things about you. I'm gonna tell myself the right things about you. I'm gonna,
practice gratitude. Even I think,
There's a lot of giving thanks in that passage.
There sure was. Yeah, and I think that's interesting because someone someone might hear that and think like, okay, well, you're just like, again, talking yourself into this. Mm-hmm. You're
like living, you get a flat tire and you're like, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. No, it's not really that, but I do think it is with a big, big view of what the Lord is doing in all mm-hmm. of history. That's more the gratitude here. It's like mm-hmm. in some way, and this, again, this is a topic for another podcast, but I think in some way, like you can look at what comes our way mm-hmm. and understand that it's in some strange way, God's mercy. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's severe, mm-hmm. but, is, again, it's meant to, if the wave is meant to throw us against the rock of ages, mm-hmm. we can be thankful for the wave. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. whether that's another wave of COVID or a church shutting down or whatever, mm-hmm. I think there's an opportunity to be grateful that our God is in control. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily be really grateful. I'm going to put on a smile and be mm-hmm. grateful that, you know, you might not be able to see my smile because of a mask or something like that. Or I'm going to put on a smile because you know, my car broke down and I'm so happy about it. No, not really that. But again, there's a sense of trust that informs that piece.
Jenny, you had some experiences in Mexico. I thought maybe you'd share about the people and their prayers, saying thank you, gracias.
Right. I think that was earlier in my journey before maybe I figured out more peace. But I thinking that when I went to Mexico, this place, living in poverty, lots of dirt, not a lot of luxuries that mm-hmm. we would mm-hmm. be familiar with. We always got to attend the church service before our mission project. And the pastor asked for prayers. And they're small enough church, people just stood up and spoke. And I only know a little bit of Spanish, but I thought, oh, I'm sure what I'll hear is, I need food, I need water, I need clothing, I need, I need, I need. And every prayer started with gracias. Thank you for this, that. And I didn't always know the words, but I knew gracias.
Mm-hmm. Right. It came out a lot.
And I was so humbled that I assumed that these people needed things. Mm-hmm. And they just needed God. Mm-hmm. And they were right mm-hmm. there at his feet mm-hmm. again, mm-hmm. seeing what they could be thankful for. And mm-hmm. not that they're, I'm sure there's, I mean, they're aware of their situation.
Sure.
But that wasn't the focus of what they needed. They just needed more God. And they trusted him to provide what they really needed, not the surface stuff.
I think there's a pull in my heart towards, like, if I just get that other thing, I'll finally have peace.
Totally.
You know?
Yes.
Like, if I can just reach that, or if I can afford that, or
if I can put enough money in retirement, if I can, whatever. Yeah.
And that's a gentle rebuke. Your story is a gentle rebuke to me about that.
It felt like a huge rebuke on my side, right? A very humbling, you know, this American coming in thinking she knows everything and God saying, well, let me show you what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
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 That's cool.
That's amazing. Well, we should probably land this plane. Anything that has gone unsaid that you guys would want to encourage someone in when it comes to peace, someone who's in turmoil. It's easy to find turmoil to be in right now. Mm-hmm. But is there any parting words for someone who might be in a situation where they're struggling?
I guess I might say, practically speaking, is rather than aiming at a desired emotional state, mm-hmm. which is peace, which is a good desire, and we all want that, to instead of aiming at an emotional state and to go to the Bible for an emotional pick me up is to press into knowing God.
Yes.
To go to the Bible and see what you can learn about God. And God may just surprise you and bless you with a peace that you didn't even know was coming because you met him in a particular way mm-hmm. that you hadn't before.
Mm.
For me, it's what can I put in my life that kind of forces me to do that? Mm-hmm. My screensaver is a little girl adjusting a crown, a really cool crown. And it says, when times are tough, I remember who my father is, who my heavenly father, or who the king.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. King of whose daughter I am. Mm-hmm. I need to see that mm-hmm. all day long, mm-hmm. right? Or a friend heard my angst over COVID stuff and the difficult mm-hmm. thing we've walked through. And she reminded me about how if God cares so much about the lily, how much more is he going to care about you? And so she gave me this gorgeous mm-hmm. lily picture mm-hmm. that's up every day I see it. Mm-hmm. I need that constant reminder mm-hmm. to do that exact mm-hmm. thing, that to not rely on the feeling, but to mm-hmm. how do I go out and make sure I'm searching mm-hmm. for God?
Man, that's awesome. Yeah. I love that passage in Hard Times. Kinsey and I have reminded each other that Jesus says we're worth many sparrows. You know, it's cool that we can trust that God, our Father, is taking care of us, not just aware of our suffering, but he's actually taking care of us. Darren, anything to add?
Yeah, I think I don't know if I can add better than what you guys said, because I'm just absorbing those things. But I think for me, just the piece of allowing my will and my mind and my heart to be subject before a king, as you just mentioned, Jenny, to be able to say, like, the Lord's in charge, he knows what he's doing. And for me to remember that I am one small part in his kingdom plan, and I don't know what has in mind. I don't know why he does that, or it may be different than I would think. But as long as my attitude is one of humble submission, I can be reminded of kind of the out of context verse. I think it says in Ephesians 2, he himself is our peace, which is about racial reconciliation in a lot of ways. But between Jew and Gentile, but it's the reminder as well that like that's, I need to remind myself that to be subject to him, he's my peace. Mm.
That's good stuff. Well, Jenny, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Yeah, thanks, Jenny.
It was
yeah,
my totally. Pleasure. Thank
you. I'm so glad. Well, we will be back next week with Patience, but you're going to have to wait a whole week. So, no, I'm just kidding. Well, we're excited to...
So ironic.
We're excited to keep on going. Thank you again for joining us. If you have any questions, reach out to us at podcast@everychurch.org. And also, I'd say if you're going through a time of turmoil, remember, we're here for you. We're not just voices on a podcast. We care about you. We're praying for you. So please reach out if there's anything we can do, any way that we can remind you how much your Father loves you. So that's all for now. See you next week.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.